You know, I've been commenting the last number of weeks, just in conversations and just reflecting myself, that it's your prayer requests have felt very heavy. We've been walking in just a very, it's a time of heaviness, a season of heaviness. The weight of this has been a lot. And I feel it and I empathize for you. I wasn't planning to change course in my sermon this week, but I figured in conjunction with the horrific events in Tumbler Ridge and in light of the many sorrows that you guys are just facing in your own lives today and that we are facing together as the church, maybe it's just best for us to pause and just be present in this season and in this moment. And so I do just want to start by saying I apologize if anything I say this morning is unhelpful to you. It's hard to know what to say in light of all of these things. You know, what took place on Tuesday was a horrible act of evil. And we need to understand that for what it is, that this is what it was. It was an act of evil. And I'm angered by it. I'm angered and sad that there are parents that will never see their child again. I'm angered and sad that there are kids who will never see their brother or their sister again. And I'm angered and sad that so many children and teachers had to bear witness to that evil that took place and are now facing those images daily. And I'm angered at our culture and our society for failing our youth so much that there are kids who feel like taking all of their hopelessness and confusion out on others just by killing themselves and others. I'm grieved for the life of Jesse. I'm grieved for the families and for the lives of everyone else who was taken in the wake of Jesse's violence. My heart goes out for that child and for all of them. I know that many of us are wrestling with these questions of why. I know many of us are feeling all of the emotions, and that might not even be because of what took place in Tumblr, because I know that you are working through, some of you are working through the loss of your own loved ones, or preparing for the loss of a loved one, or have gone through the breakdown of a relationship with a loved one. There are many things right now bringing us sorrow, bringing us anger, and having us asking, Lord, why? And first off, I want to say that it's okay to feel those things. That it's important that you do feel those things. It's the most human response to feel those things. As I've been thinking about that, what does that mean to be a genuine human response? It's because that's how God designed us and made us in his image. That we would look at these events and we know that life is sacred. And the loss of life carries with it great weight. The loss of relationship carries great weight. That there is pain and there is grieving and there is anger. It's important that you go through the process of feeling those emotions. It's important that you acknowledge and that you confess those emotions. So I'd argue it's one of the first steps through a time of grief. No one wants to go through a time of grief. But as we are made abundantly aware this week, we often just don't get a choice. And whether it's by some horrid tragedy, the progression of a disease, or simply, you know, an elderly person just facing the time to die, we will all go through times of grieving and mourning. Acknowledging and confessing those feelings are crucial to beginning a time of grieving. Ignoring those feelings and suffering, stuffing them down only makes life worse and makes us bitter and more angry. As one of my kids' favorite books tell us about going on a bear hunt. We can't go over it. We can't go around under it. We can't go around it. We've got to go through it. We have to allow ourselves to feel the grief, to go through the grief, to go through this process. And part of that acknowledging is confessing our emotions to God. Many of our songs this morning I've picked just as a reflection, as a time to sing in a time of lament. The psalmists wrote psalms of lament in which they were simply and sometimes brutally honest about their feelings, feeling distant from God in times of struggle and grief. David expresses these feelings in the first four verses of Psalm chapter 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Do you feel that? Do you feel some of those same feelings today? And if so, that is okay. I would encourage you to follow David's example. Give those thoughts and feelings over to God. Share them with him. You know, after hearing about the shooting, I couldn't help but be brought back to Mark 1, verse 41. And here in this story, an unclean man with leprosy comes to Jesus, begging Jesus to heal him, to cleanse him. And Mark's description of Jesus in the story continues to stick with me ever since we've went through it. And he said that Jesus was indignant. That something about this encounter made Jesus angry. But it wasn't the man with the leprosy. Nor was it his socially unacceptable way of approaching Jesus in their culture. But Jesus was angry, and he was angry at the effects of sin and death on this world. He was angry at the suffering, the shame, the separation that this man had to face in his disease. Not just culturally, but with God himself. And in this, I find myself comforted. In the understanding that Jesus feels angry about what happened in Tumbler Ridge too. Jesus is angered at evil. He is angered at this injustice. He is angered at the suffering that people are facing because of Satan's hard work to bring destruction. He is angered by Satan's lies and deceptions that are bringing this mental health crisis, that brings such utter hopelessness, that turns us against one another, that have us seeking purpose and meaning anywhere else but God. Jesus is grieved today as well. He is angered and he is saddened just as we are. God weeps for his creation. He cries for the world that he loves because this is not the life that he offered us in the garden. This is not how he intended life to be for us. We have to remember that Jesus also lost loved ones during his time on earth. Jesus also understands the feeling of grief that you are going through. In John 11, we read the story of Lazarus' death. And while we do know that Jesus ends up raising him from the dead, Jesus feels the weight of the sorrow as his beloved friend died because of some sickness. And we get the shortest, easiest to memorize Bible verse in verse 35. That Jesus wept. He wept because his friend had suffered and died. He wept because Mary and Martha and all of Lazarus' friends and their community were overcome with grief as well. He felt it. He empathized with them. That this is not what God had intended for us in the beginning. These were the results of sin's curse. Sin brought death into our world. We have to remember that our God feels these emotions too. That just as we are in the moment, He is feeling them along with us. For none of this is natural. None of this is right. God did not create us to go through suffering and death. But because of sin and evil, suffering and death are a part of our world, and we are born into it. So I encourage you to remember. Remember that evil is to blame. That there's a spiritual battle taking place all around us, and Satan is doing his best to bring as much destruction, as much confusion and anxiety and fear and hopelessness as he can. We have to remember that, and we have to make sure that we are ready for that battle. And we can ask God, God, why would you let this happen? And even some in the crowd asked the same question of Jesus regarding Lazarus' death. As John 11:37 says, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? It's a hard thing for us to grapple with. Yes, God could have stopped this. He could have prevented it from happening. But yet here we are. But to say that God could not have prevented it from happening would leave us where? Without a God who has the power to defeat evil. Without any kind of hope in this world. Leaving us at the mercy of evil without anyone to go ahead of us to fight for us. And yet we see in John 11 that Jesus worked out Lazarus' death for good. That there was a purpose. He even stayed away for 2 more days after Martha had brought him the news that Lazarus had died. And his purpose was to raise Lazarus from the dead so that his followers would know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That the one who believes in him will live even though they die. And I often think, what a miracle. His disciples, they get to see that within Jesus was the power to raise the dead. And they would understand this even to a deeper level later on as Jesus himself was risen from the grave. But I also think, well, dang. Lazarus is going to have to die again. He has to go through it again at some point. Would it not just be better to just stay in heaven? Yes, God could stop all of the horrible tragedies like this in our world from ever happening. He could stop diseases from taking over our bodies. He could keep children from dying in schools. He could keep miscarriages from happening in mothers. And he could make it so that we don't have to watch others suffer. And he could make it so that we don't have to grieve. But to do that in our world, in the condition that it is in, would only give a surface level fix to the bigger, deeper problem. It would leave us in an even worse spot because we would still be trapped and blind to the problem of sin in our heart. And that is why God removed Adam and Eve from the garden and kept them from the tree of life. He did it out of love so that they would not be eternally trapped living in these bodies under the curse of sin. That's also why Jesus came, to deal with the heart problem, not just to bring healing over sickness, but to bring healing over sin, to deal with sin, to destroy the devil's work, and to free us from being trapped in our sin. Jesus endured all of the suffering that we go through in this life, and he endured even more as he offered up his body to die in our place so that we would not have to pay the penalty for our sin. And he was raised victorious over sin and death, risen to new life so that we could have life in him. It isn't always easy to remember in times of grief and anger and sorrow. It can be easy to blame God and to question his goodness. And even when we do, we have to bring that to him. We have to confess those feelings to him. And he will help us remember his goodness. He will help us remember that he feels it too. He will help you remember that you are not alone in this. He hears you when you cry out to him. He is with you in the grief. So as you pour out your heart to him, remember this hope. Remember his unfailing love for you. And David doesn't end his lament in Psalm 13 without hope. He pours out his heart and his feelings, and he always ends by remembering the hope, even in the midst of the pain and the struggle. He said in verses 5 and 6, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Remembering the hope doesn't mean you have to shut down all the hard emotions. It's not there to just fix it all and go away. The hope is there to get you through the grief, not remove it. I don't know why Tumbler Ridge is going through this right now, and what God is going to do out of this for his good. I don't know why many of you and your loved ones are going through cancer or dealing with other heart diseases. I don't know why some of you have lost loved ones recently. I don't know why some of us are struggling with the breakdown of family. I don't know what God has in store or his plans through all of these hardships. But we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That will all come in due time. But for now, it's okay just to take the time to grieve, to mourn, to feel anger and sadness. Right now is the time to tell God how you feel. And remember that he understands, that he feels it too. Psalm 22, verses 22 to 24, another one of David's laments. I just want to close with this. It says, "I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." Remember those words. He hears you. He has not hidden his face from you. I'm going to end my preaching here with a song. Just a time for you to reflect. I don't expect any of you to know it. If you feel comfortable with singing it, please do so. But as I was preparing this week, songs of lament are not songs that we often sing in our North American churches. As I looked at this, I found this song this week by Wren Collective, and it's called "Weep With Me." And in the same, as they wrote this song, they wrote it in the times of dealing with some of the bombings that were taking place in the UK, in the midst of tragedies much like this, wondering why. So take this time to just reflect on it. Make it your prayer if you are going through this as well.
kind and you care for this heart, Lord, I believe.